You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Hello, Ladies of Liberty. So I just actually got in last night from Michigan back to my new home state of Arizona. Woohoo! I love it here so much. I'm so stinking happy here. And I do love Michigan. All my peeps are there, except of course, you know, well, you are, Beck, but my Linda's not there. And it was a whirlwind. And of course, we endured many delays, and thank goodness our flights were not canceled. But we wore our masks, you know, dutifully, within the airport and on the plane. And, now what is so interesting is that there was my whole experience, Christmas experience, was completely impacted through COVID, and really not from COVID, but really decisions that people make regarding COVID. So obviously our flights were delayed. Many were canceled because people were sick, and they hadn't even tested positive for COVID, but if you even have a sniffle, they didn't want you to come to work. Okay. And yet then I have, typically we go up to our cottage up in Old Mission Peninsula. We've been doing that since 1985 for New Year's with the same fabulous group of people. And one of my best friends, has been vaccinated, boosted twice, and the whole family couldn't come up because they had COVID. And this was her second bout with COVID, even though she's been vaccinated. And I just don't understand. I am not vaccinated. I've had COVID twice also. And our experience has been the same. Our experience of the disease has been the same. So I'm struggling with why I'm supposed to get vaccinated, why I'm supposed to make my children get vaccinated. And then when I have the same result as my best friend who is vaccinated and completely boosted, I don't understand. And then of course you sent this to us, Linda, about the crazy decisions people, companies, politicians are making regarding COVID. Do you want to share what's happening in Rhode Island with us?
Well, in Rhode Island, they, like many states, they fired the healthcare workers that would not get vaccinated. So now what they're doing is they're allowing, in so-called crisis situations, hospitals to hire vaccinated people who are COVID positive. So think about this. You fired the unvaccinated people who had no COVID in the hospital, and you are hiring people that are COVID positive, that have COVID right now, that are positive, that are spreading germs around. As long as they wear an N95 mask, they're okay to work with you if you are COVID positive also. I have so many problems with that. But if they're vaccinated, then why do they have COVID in the first place if the vaccine works? There are so many facets to this. We have gone absolutely crazy with this from the point of having a Dr. Fauci be the guru of COVID. So we have the fox in the hen house, the guy who helped fund gain of research function here to help create COVID and have it jump to human beings is the guy giving us all of our very conflicting rules about it. So then they're talking about masks forever on airplanes. They're talking about having you have to be vaccinated to fly in an airplane. Can you imagine what will happen with people? We are firing our military over not being vaccinated. We are firing our police officers, our border patrol, our first responders. And yet we have people pouring over the border who don't have to be vaccinated. The people at Pfizer don't have to be vaccinated. The people in Congress and all of their assistants and the people in the House and the people in the White House, they do not have to be vaccinated. So explain to me how this all works. And I'm sorry, I'm on a roll about this, ladies. We are in this Omicron version variant of the virus, which is more like a flu. People are not dying from it. People are getting something similar to a bad cold. And I have family members that have it as we speak, and they're doing just fine. They were not vaccinated. They're doing just fine. They are taking their own kind of treatment. So zinc, vitamin D, sitting out in the sunshine, things like that. And they're doing just fine, and it doesn't last that long. So I think that we seem to be out of the big pandemic part where it was killing people, which mistreated it. And then we still have our government withholding treatments from certain states like antivirals. And now we have our government making the test kits unavailable to us in the stores because they're buying them all up, putting them on a website, which isn't built yet, so that you can get them for free so that they can send it to you. I mean, this makes all of it makes no sense to me. We are done with the big bad part of COVID, I think. And we just need to let it play out, let people get it, let them get natural immunity. And they don't need to be in the hospital for this particular variant. And what they've also found out is that the Omicron variant is if you get it, you're actually protected against the Delta variant, which is far worse.
Has it changed to the degree that this new variant is now stronger than, or more prevalent rather, than COVID-19 as a result of herd immunity?
It's more prevalent, but it's not deadly. So it's right. More prevalent and and you can catch it easier, but
so is that what COVID-19 has morphed into?
Well, that's what the so-called experts say.
Yeah. So, I don't have any answers, and I'm not medically inclined in any way. I can put on a Band-Aid like nobody's business, but that's about as far as it goes. It's very confusing. The information that we're receiving is still very confusing. I want to say perhaps intentionally, because there could be a control issue out there with what information we are receiving. But I don't know what to think, truly, with the fact that people are still getting it, even though we're now boosted. I honestly don't know what to think about all of this. It's frustrating because the government is still coming up with the mask mandates and the flying forever with masks on thing. Here's one that ain't going to fly. That's just not.
No.
I can't believe there will be mass hysteria. That's just not. I just don't think that's something that people will allow to happen. It's bad enough with all of the cancellations that are happening, perhaps due to fear. I don't know. There doesn't seem to be any way to find truth, the real truth. It just seems like the media has complete control over the information that we're getting.
And well, certainly they do, Becky. And that would be... like Facebook, who takes you off of Facebook, or Twitter, who takes you off of Twitter, if you say something that they don't like about it. Yet if you have a completely different view that supports the government, but you are totally wrong, you still get to stay on. It is very confusing. And I think that's the goal, is to keep people on their heels, keep the crisis going until the election. Because if we keep the crisis going until the election, they can have the excuse to mail ballots to every human being in the United States again and have lots of fraud. And I just think that that's the end game here, because even the CDC, you can't trust what they say. They said that Omicron was 73% of the new cases. And then they backtracked and said, oh, sorry about that, it's 23%. And then they backtracked and said, oh, it's somewhere in the 50 percentile range. I mean, how do you know that they're supposed to be the gold standard? If they can't speak the truth, who do we believe on this?
So I have to interject with this because it does relate. And I don't know if either of you have seen this. Because our daughter's home from college, she found this movie on Netflix that looked interesting, and the cast is phenomenal. Amazing, if truly. But the movie's called the movie's called Don't Look Up. And it's with Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Ariana Grande, Meryl Streep, Chris Evans. The list goes on and on and on with so many.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. It is a complete parody on COVID. What it is it is two astronomers that go on a media tour to warn humankind of a planet-killing comet that is racing toward Earth. And one of these astronomers discovers that when she goes into work today and she's looking through her telescope and she spots something and gets a closer look at it. And then when she takes it to the other astronomer, a bigger name, more degrees, he does the math on this and realizes it will hit Earth in 6 months. And unless, you know, somebody does something about it, like send up missiles or something to break it apart or something so that it'll only damage a portion of Earth instead of the entire planet. They use Meryl Streep as the president and another scientist that the president is almost literally in bed with. And long story short, they control what information is disseminated to the people. And the people are believing everything that that particular president is saying because of all the other agendas that are happening. And nobody is believing, you know, what is real. And it's a parody, but it left you. And I mean, spoiler alert, the Earth gets destroyed in the end. But it's more about control and who's controlling the information. And it seems, by everything that I'm reading on the news and all different news platforms, I'm trying to check out several and not just focus on one for fairness sake. But I'm now to the point, like Linda, when you said, you know, and Judy, so many people that we know that are double vaccinated and boosted and then some, you know, sometimes double boosted for whatever reasons. Yeah. And still getting this, it just leaves me sitting there dumbfounded. And some of the decisions that are being made, like being able to be a nurse or a physician with COVID and work at a hospital taking care of COVID patients, I sort of just sit there, like I said, dumbfounded. I don't know what to think anymore. And I thought I didn't know what to think in 2020.
And now you know less what to think.
Yeah, exactly. I just keep going back to my own experience, what I can see with my own eyes and touch with my own fingers, right? And my experience is that I've had COVID twice. I'm not vaccinated. Neither time was It was not devastating to me. Now, I do understand that it is devastating and it does kill people. I do fully understand that. But I also understand that anyone with underlying conditions, right, is going to be susceptible not just to COVID, but to pneumonia, to any slew of diseases that they're going to be vulnerable to. So what also really, really upsets me is that my daughter goes to Michigan State University. She's a senior. She's going into her last semester. She'll graduate in May. And now Michigan State University is requiring them to now have a booster. So not only did they force her to have a vaccination, but now she has to go back and get a booster to finish her degree. And I just don't understand how in the United States of America, how this could be happening. I don't understand how it could be happening. I don't. She's being held hostage to their whims. And when you look at that age group, they're not even, I mean, they are not vulnerable. The vulnerable are the aged and people with autoimmune deficiencies and who have been, immunocompromised. A young college student is not in that category. So to force them to have a vaccination and then force them to have a booster if they want to finish their degree. It feels like we're in the Soviet Union.
I was just going to say that that's exactly how it feels. And it feels like the communication that we are getting, which is, it's very censored, so that if there are doctors out there that have different opinions on, say, antivirals or ivermectin or different things that are really helping in other countries, and our government doesn't want to let us use it, which just blows me away. The fact that our government won't let us use ivermectin, which is a very, very inexpensive drug, which is proven to help. India has used it in their largest state. They had phenomenal results. There are no side effects to it. There's nothing bad about it, and it works wonderfully. Yet if a doctor here prescribes it for COVID, they can lose their license. The government here is not allowing states, especially red states, to get the antivirals that they need. This does seem like a communist country at this point. The message is so twisted as to only be one side. Yet if you are an experienced doctor and you have a different opinion, then you are completely banned from being on social media and saying that opinion, and the media won't report on it. It's very, very odd. And you have to kind of go with your gut that says, there's something wrong with this. There's just something wrong with this picture. The FDA does not want to release their criteria for approving the Pfizer vaccine for 75 years. Now, you can say that that's misinformation. There is a fight going on about it right now. They say that they don't have enough people, yet they approved it in 108 days. So they ought to be able to release the reason that they approved it to us so that we can make our own decisions. But we're not being allowed to see that for up to 75 years. I all of these things are really bothersome to me, and I'm vaccinated. I am not boosted. I am hesitating on getting the booster because I no longer believe in what I'm being told, and I'm concerned about that. So I need more information, and they're not letting me get information so that I can make my own educated decision. And if I get it, they're not allowing me to have the antivirals that would help me. They're not allowing me to have ivermectin that would help me. I'm really, really bothered by this.
Yeah, there's just so much conflicting information out there. As we're talking, I went to the FDA website big headline, why you should not use ivermectin to treat or prevent COVID-19, not having a clue as to what it is. It is a medicine used in animals, not intended for humans.
Well, I mean, I got to stop you there, Becky, because I also did a lot of research on this, and there is good research on it. The research that has been done says that it is perfectly safe and good to use against COVID. And I can send you that research.
Well, so then of course, you know, so the opposite is what's on the FDA website.
Yes. But that's what I'm
so
saying.
Who do we believe? I mean, the FDA is the FDA. And so,
okay. Do you want, this is a drug
that's been, talk about the FDA.
Well, this has been used. this is a drug that's been used in human beings for umpteen years. And India, who, if you recall a few months back, India had the worst COVID death rates on the planet. People were dropping dead. They couldn't even bury them all. They had to burn them because there were so many.
Right.
They only had a 5% vaccination rate. And they couldn't get the vaccines to vaccinate their people fast enough. So they started using ivermectin, which, by the way, is not just an animal drug. It is a human drug. It is used all over the world in humans. And we could talk about the reasons why, but you can look them up. Anyway, it's a long-standing drug. They started using ivermectin in their largest state, which is a state that has something like a billion people. I don't know the exact count. It's a huge amount of people. They brought their COVID down to virtually zero. It's an amazing study. I will be happy to send it to you. But that why the FDA is putting out this information is just absolutely, it's garbage. This has been approved and been a human drug far longer than it was an animal drug. There's lots of drugs that we use. Look at antibiotics. We use them both in animals and people. So that's not a good answer to that. That's what is wrong with this picture, is that there are things that are no side effects, no problems to them, that we are not allowed to use that work.
So it is interesting again to me that, you know, you can get all kinds of information out on the internet, and, you know, I wouldn't be familiar with anything other than the FDA. And I think many Americans consider the FDA to be the end all be all. Like, if it's not FDA approved, you know, is that FDA approved? Just
why
because
did you ask Purdue Pharma about the FDA?
I'm sorry. Ask what?
Ask Purdue Pharma, the makers. Yeah.
We talked about that, right?
Of OxyContin. Right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. So, and there are, you know, within this article, it's very carefully worded. I'll put it that way. It is very carefully worded how they're saying ivermectin, what do they say? They're not, in some instances, it can be highly dangerous to use as a medicine for the prevention or treatment of COVID that has not been approved by or has not received emergency use authorization from the FDA. Now, I'm sure they didn't have FDA approval to use it in India. And if using it in India turned the tide for survival and helping people, you know, then it begs the question, why would the FDA not look at that and say, you know what, it worked. It really worked. And
here's why. Money. Because it's money. All about money. It's all about that they are in bed with these pharmaceutical companies, and the government gets money and they get money. And that's what it's about. Ivermectin.
But doesn't
is a,
that sounds so Hollywood almost. I mean, this literally are people's lives, 800 million
exactly
lives.
Exactly.
And so if it comes down to money, they're going to just allow millions of people to die for
yes,
money.
For money. So if you
I'm
look,
just going
to
bend over and kiss it goodbye, because we're like
the American Journal of Therapeutics has the article on ivermectin that and the studies that are done that prove that it is a good solution for COVID. It's available on the internet. You can look in the actual American Journal of Therapeutics, and you can see the actual studies that were done, how they did them, all of the methodology, and what the results were. So why they are trying to hide this, I don't know. And why they're allowing doctors to recommend it, I don't know. But I can tell you that I know that lots of people have used it, although I don't think that they should, because they don't know the dose to use, but they've used it and they've gotten themselves better. And Joe Rogan, the radio host, is one of those people.
It would just make sense. It would make so much sense that if this has been so successful in any area, but I mean, in a place like India, where there've been masses of people that have received assistance from this, like they haven't died. So it would just make sense. Like this one little paragraph says, however, the FDA has received multiple reports of patients who have required medical attention, including hospitalization, after self-medicating with ivermectin intended for livestock. Okay, so if the FDA is posting something like that, it's just as far as I'm concerned, why would that even be in this article? Who's going to get a hold of ivermectin on their own unless they're a veterinarian and then inject themselves with this?
Oh, you can buy it. You can buy ivermectin.
Yep.
You can like buy it. The thing is that it is an existing drug that, so obviously for an animal, it's going to have maybe a different dosage. And that's right, where right. people get themselves into trouble with any drug. Even if they took the right. human version and they overdosed or whatever, I don't know, but you have to read through the gobbledygook that they give you and do some additional research. And that is the problem, is that they are preventing us from having other, whatever they are, antivirals that are proven.
So it states here, currently available data do not show ivermectin is effective against COVID-19 in clinical trials assessing ivermectin tablets for the prevention of treatment or treatment of COVID-19 in people. And these tests are ongoing.
Well, look at the American College of Therapeutics and look at the right. study that they did. And their results are exactly what you saw in India. And India, again, to me, it's what Judy said. You need to believe your own eyes and your own information instead of the gobbledygook that they're feeding us for whatever the reason, whether it's money or I'm also shocked that we can't get anything that would help us that is proven to help. That really bothers me. Yet we could approve a vaccine in a very short amount of time
right.
that we have seen is right. killing some people when they take the vaccine. So let me make my own decision and let my doctor make their decision with me as to what is good for me to take and stop preventing me from taking what would help me.
Yeah, it seems like, just from what I'm reading and from what I'm hearing, and even I want to say the media is slipping a little bit, because during the end of the football season, we have these bowl games and we've had these big football games, which I know for Michigan State University, that arena holds like 65,000 people. So that's happening all over the United States.
Yeah.
And I'm not hearing that as a result of the Michigan State football game, go green, had 65,000 people that were there, 20,000 have COVID from going to that game. And I've stopped hearing those kinds of things in the news. So has the tide truly turned, things getting better, and that the media is playing off Omicron because they literally don't have anything else and they want to keep this fear and concern going?
I'm excited to talk about a new product from HealthyCell, AC11. This is a patented bioactive extract of Uncaria tomentosa from the Amazon rainforest. It supports cell DNA repair and health span. It's a dietary supplement. I'm excited to try it. Many are interested in longevity and attenuation of senescence. We know that telomere length and other biologic measures are related to senescence in clinical and preclinical studies, particularly of animal models. And I can tell you as a doctor, dietary supplements do hold the promise of attenuating repair and damage in our body due to stress, physical wear and tear, sunlight, etc. And there's a tremendous opportunity for supplements to help us in this area. And so Healthy Cell has brought a product to market for you to try as part of your health portfolio. So please go to healthycell.com and in the promotional code, list out loud for 20% off your first purchase of products from Healthy Cell. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of 2022 is upon us. Happy New Year, my fellow Americans. It was Bill Vong who reminded us, an optimist stays up until midnight to see the new year in. A pessimist stays up to make sure the old year leaves. Here's to all being an optimist. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. And today I am with Becky Kolminen. Becky is a Becky, tell me again how you say it, because you say I say voiceover artist, but that's not true at all.
Yeah. Well, it is true. Voice actor, voice talent.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yes.
Amongst your many other talents, you are a wonderful voice talent. Becky is indeed the voice that you hear at the front and the back end of Ladies of Liberty. And I'm with Judy Moran, the vice president of the 12-week year, and she handles all the client relations there. And, you know, Judy, we have to do another talk about the 12-week year because I just am so impressed with it. I think at the beginning of the year, it's a great time for people to get involved with something like that and talk about it. And I know that last time that we talked on Ladies of Liberty, you offered people a free copy of that book if they go to your website.
I did.
That's pretty excited about that. That's the 12weekyear.com.
Yep. If they, you know what they need to do is email me, and I'll make it happen. I'm at jmoran@12weekyear.com. So, and I'll make sure you get a copy. Alrighty.
Okay. And this is Linda Martinelli. I am a business owner and also the host, along with my husband, Dr. Ron Martinelli, of Talking While Married right here on America Out Loud, weeknights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So in this new year, you know, we look forward to a lot of things, a lot of good things. We start making plans. But Becky, you have a situation right now that's really, I know, on your mind with a really good friend of yours. And I want to talk about that with you because I know it's something that's heavy on your heart right now.
Well, thank you. You know, this morning I did my little post on Facebook. I admit I'm kind of, I don't know if addicted is the word, but things that are really important to my heart, I tend to put out there. And this one, I posted "Auld Lang Syne" or "Auld Lang Syne," however they really say it, because I don't want to forget people that have touched my heart in very beautiful ways and left that imprint for the rest of my life. And Linda and Judy, you know those people that do that in your life. And though it is a new year, I don't want to forget those important people in my life. And one of those is a college roommate and dear friend of mine that I've known for a long time. I've been out of college a long time. And the six of us that lived together that final year have remained incredibly close. And my dear friend has been battling with a brain tumor for almost 2 years. And it has finally reached a point where she is dying, we believe today. She's been on hospice for a couple of weeks. And we've been in contact with her husband. And this is that moment in a person's life where you really hit me hard thinking about the realities of one's mortality. And in that thought, what comes to my mind, and I can only speak for myself, is what is really important in those last moments, in those final moments, whether you're coherent, conscious, or not. I fully believe that God is in communication with you, because once that last breath, that last heartbeat happens, what is there? What more is there? Well, for a believer, there's life eternal with Christ. And for those who don't believe, I have a couple of answers for that too, which probably people won't like, but one involves hell and one involves hell. Really? You might think the other one doesn't involve anything. Some people might think it just involves nothing. Like once you're gone, you're gone. As you've evaporated and you no longer exist, and it's as if you didn't. But the truth is there are only two things that happen after that last breath. But things like this really do make you think about your own mortality and where you're at, where your relationship is at with Christ, with people. Unfortunately, in this case, I was privileged, and I don't mean that in a very positive term, but this person who is passing had a close relationship with someone, and I know that there was no forgiveness for some things. And I can't imagine going to my last breath not forgiving someone. And then the recipient, whom I also know equally as well, not being forgiven. Those things are really, really, they're so important. We don't even realize how important they are. I mean, they're life and death. They're serious. God considers unforgiveness a very, very serious thing. And when we think about these old relationships that we've had in our past, and hopefully all the new relationships that we're going to have in the future, I have to ask myself, what's important about those relationships? How do those relationships serve a positive influence in my life or a negative influence in my life? And am I a better person for having known these people? And how can I share my life with Christ with these people? And that's kind of heavy. But that's where I'm at today.
I am so sorry for just the pending loss of your dear friend.
Thank you.
My heart breaks for you and breaks for your family, for her family. I have lost a whole generation ahead of me, that went previous to me. So Brian and I have lost all of our parents, all of our grandparents, and all of our aunts and uncles. I remember the very first time that we lost somebody close to us, which it was Brian's father. And it was interesting because it was so shocking, which is amazing to me because none of us are going to get out of here alive, right? But yet
It's true.
Okay. But
it's true.
It's true. None of us are getting out of here alive. No one. And I don't care how much money you have, who you know, how much influence you have, you're still not going to get out of here alive. Our lifespan is, you know, what's the average lifespan now? Isn't it in the 70s now, average? Which is actually higher than it used to be. But still, it goes like that. It goes so fast. And I just remember realizing that I had lived in this bubble. In this bubble of this illusion of as if I had time. As if we had time with our loved ones. And so shocked when my father passed away. And not my father, my father-in-law, when we lost Big Jim. And I remember thinking, I was standing, you know, it was the day that he passed away and we were with him at the hospital. And after leaving the hospital, we had to get gas. And I remember standing there pumping my gas, thinking, doesn't everybody know? Don't you know my father-in-law just passed away? Shouldn't the store be shut down? Shouldn't it be closed? Shouldn't it be like Christmas Day or, you know what I'm saying? Like something. Shouldn't these people know that life has just ended for somebody that meant the world to me? Death is a very strange thing because we don't know what happens next. But what I can tell you is that I have spent the very last moments with so many people in my life, and every single time they are visited by loved ones that have gone on before them, that have died before them. Now, I can also tell you that each of these people believed in Christ, accepted him as their savior, and had a relationship with God, personal relationship with God. And so their passing was not, it was peaceful. And I think it was very comforting for me to witness and experience them having full conversations with their parents, their brothers and sisters, or their wife or their husband, as if they were standing right in the room. And it calmed them and helped the transition go more peacefully. And it happened in every single instance.
Don't you think it's those of us that are left that are the ones that are in pain? Because
sure.
The ones that are passing are going somewhere better. And Jesus said that, you know, even if at the very last moment of your life you mm-hmm. accept him, that
yep.
you yep. are saved. And
yeah.
You know, I do believe that. And I do believe that we go to another level. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that this is all that there is.
No, I firmly believe that your soul is with Jesus at that moment, right at that moment. These bodies, these can be disposed of. And I don't ever want to see this again, at least not the way it looks right now.
yeah. You know, the three of us have professed we believe in Jesus Christ, and I know that not all of our viewers do. And I get that, you know, one of the biggest arguments is, well, what about, you know, the people who live in that isolated continent or island, and they've never been exposed to Jesus, and they don't understand. And the truth is that God promised all of humanity that he would reveal himself in a way that each of us would understand. Now, how God reveals himself to me is not the same way that he will reveal himself to you, Linda, or you, Becky, or to that child that lives in an African nation way off, you know, in the rainforest. But he promises that he will reveal himself to us. And I think the beauty is that he doesn't want to force us to choose him.
Right.
He wants us to have
free will. Right.
Right. Free will choice. Because what, you know, do you guys remember that movie Stepford Wives? Right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what good is that? Right. I want the person I'm in a relationship with to actually want me.
Right.
That's what a relationship is, right? It's a communication and a give and a take and I am there. I am with you because I choose to be, not because you made me be, right? And that's what he longs for. He longs, he's crazy about us. And he longs for us to be in relationship with him. He longs for us to choose him. And we look at this life, and I did myself, as if when we die, it ends. And we look at it like our life in a straight line, and then there's this break, and then we go somewhere else. But there's a separation there between life and death. When I believe that it's one straight line, I don't believe that the person, the soul that I am, dies. I believe that I go on with Christ, mm-hmm. that I, you know, in heaven. And I've told my children, doesn't matter if I die or not. My presence will always be with you. And I will always love you. And you will feel that.
I think that the answer, Becky, that maybe you were struggling a little bit with is, you know, it is a little bit about that last moment, but it's more about your whole life. And it's about living a well-lived life. I mean, being an honest and ethical person, doing the best you can with other people. I think that all of those things are more important than that last moment, unless you're an absolute non-believer and
right.
you can absolutely change that up to that last moment. We have that option, and the reward is the same as somebody who has lived their entire life as a believer in God. So that is always within our power. But, you know, I think about Betty White and the life that she lived. And she just seemed to be such a good person and always doing the right thing and always being kind and making wise choices. And, you know, I just feel like that's what life is about. It's not about that last moment. It's about everything up to that last moment. That is who you are and you know how people will remember you.
Well, and that is what I meant, was that if a person isn't a believer, it's during those last moments that they have that conversation.
They do. Which, yes.
Right. But as far, you know, for me, everything I do in life, I want to do to glorify God and not myself.
Yeah.
And not my works, not good works, because that's not how we're saved. All the good works in the world and won't save you. You know, I don't want to be one of those that God says, I don't know you. And I know you spent years working in a church. You served pancake breakfasts. You organized toy drives. You did all these things, but I don't know you. I want to live to serve God. And that means all kinds of things. The salvation doesn't come through the works. It comes through undeserved grace. And it is a life you want to live. I want to live a life well lived, so that when I have my last breath, I do hear, come on in. And now I might be sitting, leaning up against the gate with my back to the front gate. I don't even know that I'll have a mansion. I'll be happy with a cardboard box, though, if I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody gets a cardboard box back yet.
You know, it might, the cardboard box might be bedazzled at least.
Yeah.
But I'll be there. So.
Yep. I understand the sadness that you feel with your loss of your friend. And your friend is past that right now. And she's headed in a new direction, yeah. Which, you know, I mean, we can mourn, but we can also celebrate for her to be free of her, you know, earthly pain that she right. suffered with having the tumor, and let her move on to a better, freer place where, you know, she'll always be your friend and mm-hmm. she'll always be there for you, but she's just moved on and you'll see her again someday.
Well, you know, Linda, with that said, that brings another element to this, in that the letting go process, mm-hmm. It's easy, I think, sometimes to think, well, I wonder if they believed, or I wonder if they, were they a Christian? Did they believe? What did they believe? Well, I don't know if they did. It truly isn't our place to judge that. And it's not, that's something between the person and God. But I think as humans, there's a human curiosity there because it's such a mystery and it's so unknown. Part of the process in celebrating that person is being able to not conjecture and just let go. And that's painful. And that's, letting go in any degree is painful, but I have to just make the choice to celebrate this person. Uh-huh. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. You know what, Becky, I do. What I, there's all sorts of things. First off, I just agree so wholeheartedly with what you said about, you know, did that person have a relationship with Christ, and speculating on that. I agree with you 100%. I think that we cannot, how can we possibly judge mm-hmm. anybody's relationship with Christ, right? I have no idea what happens in their head and in their heart when their head hits that pillow at night, right?
Right.
I mean, right? It's their conversation. It's their relationship. It's personal. So I agree with you there. The other thing that I want to share with you as my friend is that it's okay to grieve.
Oh, yeah. You have to. So you can't stop sometimes. It's your heart. Your heart overflows with the joy that you've known from that person.
Right.
And that grieving is so healthy. And I thank you for sharing that, Judy, because I had no idea that you've lost so many in your family, and you know what grieving is. And so thank yeah. you for sharing.
Absolutely. And don't hide it. Don't just let it flow through you. I think are the biggest challenges we have in our culture today is that everybody, you know, thinks that they have to be happy all the time, right? And that if I'm not happy, then something's wrong. And people get very uncomfortable if I'm crying or I'm grieving. There's a huge discomfort when somebody's grieving, and you want to soothe them and make that pain go away because you love them. You don't want them to be in pain, but we're human. And that is part of the human process of grieving the loss. My bestest friend Jessica just lost her sister-in-law, and they were with her for like the whole week before she passed away, she and her husband Paul. And Jessica and Paul have 5 children, and I said to her, listen to me, do not hide your tears from your children. Do not pretend like everything's okay, because everything is not okay. You're losing someone you love, and it's painful. And they need to see you grieving in a healthy way, that it's okay to cry. It's okay to sob. It's also okay to be angry with God. Just keep that communication going. It's, don't hide it from them, because they have to see you experiencing that and allowing it to flow through you. It doesn't get stuck and cause disease and pain for the rest of your life. You have to let it flow through you and out of you and go through those states.
You know, Judy, in John 11:33, it tells us that when Jesus, one of his best friends, Lazarus, died, he cried. He visibly cried tears that people could see. He grieved. And he knows that this process of death here is stupid and it's awful. And thank you, Adam and Eve. And it's, you know, because he knows. I mean, it is a process. And that's, thank you again for mentioning how okay it is to grieve. It's so very healthy. And I'm sure, Linda, you have lost those in your life that bring about incredible grieving as well.
Well, I certainly have. And they're people that I never forget. And I talk to often. And, you know, it is just as Judy said, it's a process that we go through. And it's unavoidable. It touches all of us, every single one of us in life. So we just need to, like, as Judy says, go through it, allow it to happen, and, you know, move forward. That's the only answer that I have, because it's just inevitable.
But there's comfort that I can share, and it comes from lyrics of one of my favorite, what I call modern Christmas tunes. The band called Down Here, and unfortunately they're no longer together, but one portion of the lyrics, just a tiny paragraph, explains how the great love that God has. And it says, how many kings step down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that has torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Only one did that for me.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.